and we'll be reading a couple of Bible passages this morning. The first is from Matthew 16, and we'll be reading from verse 13 to verse 20. The second will be from Hebrews 12, and we'll be reading verses 22 to 24. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. So our second reading is from Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and from verse 22 to 24. "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel."
Well, perhaps you've heard about the Chinese Communist government over the last few years really stepping up their persecution of Christian churches. In fact, even during COVID, when you might have thought they would be a little bit preoccupied, in fact, they haven't let up. Continue to tear crosses down, demolish buildings, jail pastors, intimidate churchgoers. So I want you to imagine a Chinese government official somewhere sitting in his office, following his orders, intent on bringing under control these Christians in his city. And he has a map on the wall. On that map he has pins across the city where these churches are. In fact, he's been able to pull out a few pins over the last few years, but frustratingly, also, some pins have had to be put on other places where new churches have popped up. Now, for us, pins on a map representing churches in our city probably doesn't mean too much, but for him, they represent a threat. Allegiance to something other than the state and the party. Those pins show where indoctrination happens. Those pins show where Christians gather and get their marching orders to head out and have more people and more members to gather with them. See, here's what that Chinese government official thinks as he looks at that map with all those remaining pins. If we crush their gatherings, we crush their movement. Now, I offer that way of thinking about Christians gathering because I don't think that's actually far from the truth. Now, we've gone through this crazy, weird experience as a church. Look, we're still in it, aren't we? But I want us to see how incredibly central and countercultural and subversive and spiritually necessary it is to gather together. It's not that we should assemble because it's good and beneficial. Churches gather together because it's essential to being church. Now, I want to make three points with you this morning, and they are: church gathered represents Christ's kingly rule. Church gathered is a visible outpost of Christ's kingdom, and church gathered is for forming citizens who follow their king. And this is a bit of a deep dive this morning. We're going to look at plenty of Bible, move quick. I invite you to think deeply with me this morning. You know, it is helpful to think the way of that government official who feels threatened by the existence of churches, because he sees it as a foreign power. And there's something to that. Now, it's not that churches are training up terrorists. You know, we just finished 1 Peter series the other day, and there's those words there, fear God, honour the emperor. You know, respect and submit to your government. But with church, as we gather, it does represent the invasion of the kingdom of heaven, where Christ rules, where his rule is displayed, his authority is shown. Now, I'll give you some passages to look up, but please start by turning back to the first one that Ken read for us before. It's Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Matthew 16, verse 16. I just want to point out a couple of things there. Now, famously, these words have been taken by, well, the Roman Catholic Church to justify popes, as if all the popes are in the spiritual line of the first so-called Pope, Peter. And that's, but that's, I've got to say, that's reading all sorts of things into this. Now, when Jesus says, verse 18, on this rock I will build my church, he's not saying Peter and the popes will build Jesus' church. Jesus is saying it's Peter's true confession of who Jesus is will be the foundation and the way of building Jesus' church. It's what Peter says, verse 16, have a look there. He says, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, that gospel confession of truth that's been proclaimed for century after century, that's what builds God's true church. But have a look at verse 19 again. I'll read those words and they'll be on the screen as well. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, this has nothing to do with papal authority, but we're just going to leave that there unexplained for a second. We'll keep those words up on the screen. But in your Bibles, I want you to now to flick over to chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15. This is a passage with lots going on in it. Jesus talks about, calling unrepentant sin in the church to account. But I want you to notice what Jesus says there, chapter 18, that's similar to what he said in chapter 16. Read with me, chapter 18, verse 15. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. But if they'll not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Forever, where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Now, do you see that repeating thing when Jesus talks about the church? Now, let's put that on the screen from this passage. See, this is not about what the Pope does, but the church binds and loosens just as in heaven. It's Jesus' way of saying church displays a spiritual authority that comes from the kingdom of heaven. Making judgments on what is the Christian gospel. Making judgments on those who rightly accept the gospel and its implications for how we live. It's very full-on language, the church binding and loosing on earth as it is in heaven. I'll put it like this, the church is like an embassy. You know, for those who've ever spent time overseas, you know about an embassy, don't you? Like, an embassy is like a nation within a nation. It represents the government from another place. There's a sense of who are its own citizens. An embassy has delegated authority from its home nation. Just to be clear here, the church to bind and loosen what will be bound and loosened in heaven is not, you know, we don't have some magical spiritual power. You know, we declare that the only color that should be worn is blue. You know, we declare that bacon is delicious and beads are awesome and it will be so and it is in heaven. No, like an embassy, very specific, very delegated authority. A church can't even make someone a Christian. But bound to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we make judgments on what is the true Christian confession and makes judgments on who are the true confessors. And notice it says there, verse 20, about Christians gathering, for where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. This is not when a few Christians get together, a mystical Jesus fog fills the room. Maybe we thought that. But this is when we're together, we bear Jesus' authority. We represent Jesus. We fly Jesus' flag. It's all rather full-on picture of church, isn't it? You know, from one perspective, we look like a very ordinary, voluntary community organization. You know, volunteers who gather with a common interest. You know, next door here at the hub next door is a gym. Right here today is church. And for many, you know, the gathering of people next door looks way more impressive than us because they've got way bigger muscles than us. But a Christian church which gathers around the united confession of who is Lord, well, we display the rule and the authority of heaven. We represent this foreign power. No wonder a Chinese communist official feels threatened. No wonder they don't like seeing all those pins on a map. As we gather, we represent the king's rule. So that's the first thing. Next point. Church gathered is a visible outpost of Christ's kingdom. And it's a little bit similar to the first point, but I want us to see how the Bible really just goes to town to show how that church is a physical, in the flesh, reality. It really is a pin on the map, people that gather together. Actually, when you get into it, you actually see that the whole Bible is a story about God, well, first of all, scattering a wicked people in judgment, but then graciously gathering his chosen and redeemed, saved people to himself. It starts with Adam and Eve. He scatters them from the garden. If you know that moment about the Tower of Babel, those who want to make a name for themselves, he scatters them. Now, you can take this as a bit of a prep for next week as we start Exodus, but it's through a guy named Abraham that he promises to bless and gather a nation to himself. God doesn't want people scattered and apart and left to their own wickedness. He wants them together and united around him. In the story of Israel, soon after leaving Egypt, you get a moment which is called the Day of the Assembly at Mount Sinai, the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments and all that. And it says this, and it'll be on the screen. Moses says, "The Lord gave me two stone tablets inscribed by the finger of God. On them were all the commandments the Lord proclaimed to you on the mountain out of fire on the day of the church." Now, I fudged that a bit. Most English translations have the day of the assembly. But in the Greek Old Testament, the word is ecclesia, which is the New Testament exact same word that we use for church. The day of the assembly, the gathering, ecclesia, the day of the church. And that's what Jesus brings about, you see. Jesus said, I will build my ecclesia, I will build my church. When Jesus talks about that group of people that will assemble in his name, he could have picked different words. He could have said, you guys will be the synagogue. You guys will be the fellowship. No, he used that word from Mount Sinai, from Zion, the day of the assembly, the church. Just to blow your mind, check out this verse from Hebrews. It's what Ken read before. But this is a word to Christians, to those who've come to know Christ, what Christ did on the cross for us. But those words are again, it says, "But you have come to Mount Zion." So there's not just the day of the church at the time of Moses. There's the day of the church today. to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. This is saying, brought into this gathering of God's saved people, we become something so much bigger and exciting and eternal. And we can't see it. It's invisible. When we gather, the bigger thing, the invisible thing, the exciting thing that we're part of, when we gather together, is not we become part of the, I don't know, Presbyterian Church of Australia. That's not exciting, in case you wondered. The big thing that we become part of when we gather together is actually this myriad of angels, or this myriad of saved, redeemed people in joyful assembly gathered around God, our Saviour, our Mediator, who gave His blood for us. I told you, it's mind-blowing. It's hard to get your head around this. But God has always been about gathering. That's the story of the Bible. God's way of gathering the church through Jesus. So this church reflects the king's authority. This church testifies to his rule. This church is the visible outpost of the heavenly reality. As that Chinese government official looks at the pins on the map, no wonder he gets a bit worried. You know, church is not a place. People will say to me, I left my umbrella at the church. And we don't even have a churchy-looking building. To help people, you know, think that. It's just so natural, is it, the vocab that we all tend to use. But church is not a place. Church is a people. But it's the gathered people who come to a place. We're like a basketball team. We're like any sporting team. A team doesn't stop being a team when it stops playing together. But a team is a team by virtue that it does play somewhere together. You can't be on a basketball team if you never show up for a game. You can't be a church member without gathering. Church is what God is about. This actual, visible outpost of God's kingdom. I'll say one more thing about church today, and by no measure am I saying everything that could be said about church, our reason, our purpose, our mission, but just to say one more thing. Church gathered is forming citizens who follow their king. Churches gather to teach everything that Jesus commanded us. Here at this embassy, every Sunday, we offer citizenship classes to teach people how to be followers of their King. You know, it's only through the Holy Spirit that, He creates and He shapes disciples of Jesus. But the Spirit's given us things. The reading and the teaching of the Bible, the singing of God's truth to one another. It's so good to do today. Things like the Lord's Supper even. And we're given each other. In accountability. We're giving each other to encourage one another. As we do all this together, this is what it means to meet in Jesus' name. Together we testify to the truth that Jesus is King, that He is over our lives, and we want to grow in Him. There's some passages on the screen about what happens in church to form us as citizens of the King. If you just notice there's a couple of similar phrases there. There's this mutual desire to serve and build up the church. We gather so we might be shaped and changed by the Spirit, and through our own humble service, others might be shaped and changed by the Spirit. Citizens of the King are formed in that gathering that takes place. Again, no wonder that Chinese communist official gets nervous as he looks at those pins in a map, churches, Christians gathering together. Now, I do want us to get us all thinking about Christ Central right now with what we're going through. I hope God's word is getting under your skin, getting into your heart, that you're seeing that the great heavenly, spiritual, eternal realities of church is sadly actually crashing against the situation we're in right now of, you know, COVID pandemic. And we are voluntarily, as an act of submission to our government, as an act of love for others, we're not living out that reality of gathering weekly like we should. And so I so want us to have a sense of dissatisfaction with that. You know, we talk about essential essential services. You know, I'm going to get in trouble, but you know, people said hairdressers were essential service. I'm definitely going to get in trouble for saying this, but hairdressing, an essential service. Come on, let us all just grow at our grey roots and have floppy hair. But church is essential to being church. But I full well know through live streaming, through the habit of sitting on the couch in our PJs with a cup of tea, we've made it feel as if the church gathering is not essential. And you can have it all in the comfort of your own home. I mean, we've been deliberate in providing a live stream. We still will be. We believe it's better than nothing. There's encouragement to be had with this. You know, we've been able to reach people we haven't before. But it's not the way we want to be. If you're a Christian, seeing what God has to say, can you see it's not what we want to be doing? We're still living with COVID-19 restrictions. Today we can have about 50 people in the building. Our plan is to do it for 2 more weeks and then assess. Who would have ever thought we would ask people to book a seat for church? Just crazy, really. Then there's those at home who are watching the live stream, maybe with others as well, which is terrific. We don't know how long this will last. We don't know how long we can't be the church we really want to be. But I want God's word on church to create in you an itch that, because of restrictions, an itch that you sadly cannot scratch. You want to gather. You want to leave your home, but you just can't because the opportunity isn't there. I realize it's hard. We're all going through these new habit-forming experiences. It's not straightforward. I think just a flick a switch, it'll all just go back to the way it was before. I mean, I'm surprised that people here at the Hub haven't, in the middle of my own Bible talk, you know, got up and stretched their legs and had a cup of tea and chatted to the person next to them, because that's what you used to do, right? So thank you for that. But, you know, I heard from someone at church that they thought that with her husband's time at work, she wouldn't be able to get to any of the, well, 2 out of the 3 Sundays coming up. She could only get to one. So very quickly, she got on the website and booked her and her husband in. You know, she had a fear of missing out, FOMO for church. Now, maybe we think church has gotten easier, better, more convenient. But truthfully, we should all have a FOMO for church. If we're Christian, we really do miss out by not meeting together. If we're Christian, we've got to say, there's a couple spare seats today even. And there's plenty of spare seats over the next 2 Sundays at the moment. You know, if you're healthy, if you feel safe about your health as you spend time with others, as a practical step, why not today get on the website and book your place on one of the Sundays coming up? 2020 has been a year of great upheaval. I think we're all still wanting to see what will be the ongoing, you know, embedded impacts in our society, how we do life. I think we all realize there's going to be some long-lasting effects. As one example, I just read an article the other day that said there could be up to 50% of PhD students who drop out from their study program. Could be as high as 50% no longer doing PhDs. What might be the dropout rate effect in church? Even talking to fellow ministers around the place, it seems as if COVID is creating a moment for people to off-ramp out of church. Just, you know, it's just happening. We just won't see people again. So we're going to see, you know, we're going to, as we know, we're going to see plenty of job seekers. But we will also see church seekers. But the worst thing of all would be if those church seekers never become church keepers. It will mean they haven't got the vision of what God calls us to. To be a Christian is to gather. The gathering represents Christ's authority. It's an outpost of God's kingdom. It's how we form citizens of the kingdom. I want you to realize that church is not a state of mind. It's not a state of mind. Church is a geographic, embodied, physical experience. It's a gathering. It's a pin in the map. You can see it. You can hear it. You can taste it on Sundays when we have our Lord's Supper. You can touch it, though we're very nervous about that right now. Plenty of hand sanitizer and we're all socially distanced. But church isn't straightforward like it used to be. Things to manage, it's a tricky time. We need to be alert to what might be changing with realities of pandemic and public health. You know, as we look to relaunch and re-emerge and re-engage and all those other re's. But with whatever decision we have to make, and for the time being, as we have limited and impoverished experience of church, it's important to know it is an impoverished experience of church. It's just what we have to do. A pin on a map, a location, a place, it's not a bad representation of what church is. We gather to represent Christ's rule. Church is an outpost of Christ's kingdom. We need church to grow as disciples of Jesus, our King. Let's look forward to gathering and do what we can in this time to gather together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his blood shed at the cross so that we might be brought to you as your sons and daughters, that we are the firstborn, the church of the firstborn, that those that gather around Mount Sinai and praise you with the myriad of angels and saints. And so, Father, help us to know this, to treasure this reality of all that we have in Christ. And, Father, we thank you for taking us through this time during COVID-19, you're in control. We take so much comfort in that. Father, we thank you for the gift of many things, such as technology and live streaming, for the gift of being able to be with others, to be with others in our lounge rooms. We thank you for all those blessings. And Father, help us all to know and have that deep conviction of church is the gathering. And Father, please be with us as we move through this time. Help us all to have that conviction of our hearts, and that we might live that out together, that we might together just know that we live out Christ's authority amongst us. We are a visible expression of the eternal realities of a heavenly gathering. And indeed, Father, we need each other. We need this gathering so that we might grow as disciples of Jesus. And so, Father, please be with our church. Please grow us. Please let us be a church that we would send outwards so that we might see more people won to Christ and gather with us. And we thank you so much for our Lord, Savior and King Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.